Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is OMF on EEI.
I'm Jack Edwards.
Jack Edwards, the voice of the Boston Bruins.
It's like a heartbeat with this team. Boom, boom.
Jack Edwards joins Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier live on Sports Radio WEEI.
And who has more fun than us?
Get up!
All right, back here at OMF, as I mentioned, the Bruins and the Capitals go at it. Tonight, coverage begins at 6 on Nesson, and the TV voice of the Boston Bruins, Jack Edwards, joins us live right now on the Harbor One Hotline. Mr. Jack, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, boys?
We're doing well.
Oh, just doing dandy, Jack.
Doing well.
It's a Friday, you know. We're hanging out.
Oh, it's Fourier's best day.
We've only said Cam Newton at least only 10 times.
No, just once today, I think.
So let me tell you what I'm happy with this year. I'm happy that they're not playing Vancouver tonight. I have nothing against Vancouver other than this new divisional format, playing the same seven teams all year, reminds me of City against the team that you just played last night. Are you enjoying this?
Yeah, I love it. You know, I've long been an advocate of rearranging the schedule and get rid of the odd game against the division that's in your conference. You know, they either play two at Madison Square Garden and one at TD Garden or vice versa in every other year. Get rid of that odd game and shave the non-conference schedule and go 3-3 against every division opponent. And next year, when they go to 32 teams, have two of those games, two of those home games, and two of those away games be in a row. Because the second game that we're going to see tonight, they are in a lather before the game. They can't wait to get at each other, and it's made for some really spirited hockey.
Yeah, Jack, I got to admit, you know, that game got a little chippy. Outstanding game the other night watching it, and it's kind of uncomfortable knowing that, you know, Chara's returned to the Garden. It was kind of like when, you know, I don't even try to think, like Florida when Sean Thornton went down there and things got a little chippy. And I'm sitting there saying, like you said, it's chippy. So going into the night, do you have like a line ready? I mean, what if Chara squares off with somebody? And I know you're all excited about when Chara beats the hell out of other people, but doesn't that sort of make you, it's going to get very physical and Chara's going to have to end someone's life?
Yeah. It could happen. Trent Frederick is the latest candidate to be the bad guy on
fights
the Bruins.
Everyone.
And if he can make it through his rookie season without getting his head taken off, I think he's going to be an icon in this town. The kid has guts, and he's smart about it. He tried to go to Ovechkin into a major penalty, and Ovechkin should have gotten one. And he tried to goad Tom Wilson in the closing seconds of that game. So, you know, the guy looks like a wild man, but he's really playing his role smartly.
Yeah, you know, Jack, I wanted to ask you about that, the Ovechkin hit on Frederick with, you know, slashing him right in the ding-ding. I'm amazed that it was only a $5,000 fine. Like, these guys don't think it's a big deal. Like, to me, it's like $5,000 for when somebody basically takes a weapon and hits another man in a very important part of their body and only gets $5,000 penalty. Like, this, there's no way this is ever going to go away.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right, Christian. And, you know, consider that Ovechkin is still on what, when he signed it, was a max contract. He took up as much of a percentage of Washington's salary cap as they possibly could under the CBA. And, you know, $5,000 to him is like, I'm sure he's left bigger tips in his life after a night of vodka shots at some Washington bar. So you know, Dean Morton and Pierre Lambert were the two referees, and they come up with cross-checking on Frederick. I can see that. You know, he hit him three times. And roughing on Ovechkin, a two-minute penalty for roughing? Yeah, I would say that's rough. I would also say spearing a man in the groin, which is automatically suspendable, or should be, and they give him a two-minute penalty.
Amazing.
That's just absurd. And you know, one of these guys is going to end up reffing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, maybe both. And, you know, that's ridiculous. And you put it in perspective to the penalties that were called earlier in the night, and it's outrageous that Ovechkin only gets 2 minutes. But, you know, that was not the difference in the game. The Bruins have to play faster. They have to get inside ice, as Bruce Cassidy describes it. They have to get in Vanacek's face. They have to get the puck. But take no prisoners.
We're talking to our buddy Jack Edwards. It's obvious by the number of games that this team has played right now, they're going to be in the mix. So Bob McKenzie mentions the other night that the Bruins are in a prime position to add a prominent defenseman, maybe another frontline guy. What do you want to see them do to get ready for the playoffs?
Well, they got plenty of right shots, so that limits your options to a left shot if you're going to add an ideal player. Roman Josi, maybe, because Nashville is in fire sale mode. They still need scoring wings. Jake DeBrusque is off to the slowest goal-scoring start of his career. David Krejci hasn't found the goal-scoring magic yet. He's gone 16 games without scoring a goal. That's the longest goalless stretch for Krejci since his rookie year of record. He played a handful of games the year before, but his second year in the league was actually his rookie year officially. I would always like to add a defenseman before the playoffs, but if you bring a guy in, he's got to make an impact. And if you're bringing a defenseman in, you're talking about somebody who's probably elite, and a package of second and third tier players is not going to get it done. I'm sure that any team that is trading a Norris Trophy caliber defenseman such as Roman Josi, who won it last year, would demand a king's ransom in return, and I'm not willing to part with certainly not Charlie McAvoy, and I think Saboril has acquitted himself nicely. And I even think Lauzon is a really solid future defenseman. So, you know, they got to be careful with who they part with.
Hey, Jack, I know I probably saw Fluto Shinzawa's article in The Athletic talking about Jack Eichel. And I don't know if you're interested. Obviously, great player. They're 24 years old, could be a centerman for a very long, long time. But he did mention, if you're interested in him, it might be Charlie McAvoy or David Pastrnak. So give me your take on that as far as how far do you want to go if you are interested in him at all?
Two untouchables, because those are guys who not only are great players at their respective positions, but they aren't even at their ceilings yet. And Eichel certainly isn't at his ceiling either, but the intangible of McAvoy and Pastrnak both totally buying into the Bruins culture and not trying to hit the ball out of the park every time they come up for a contract. You know, that's really important. Patrice Bergeron signed a long-term contract a few years ago, and we kind of scratched our heads because he left millions of dollars on the table. But the nature of that contract and the quality of Bergeron's play says he accepts that, you know, several million dollars a year is plenty to live on unless you're living an outrageous lifestyle. And it sort of puts a cap culture into place. And the Bruins have that, right? And despite their shortcomings or perceived shortcomings of personnel, they have flexibility because of the Bergeron mentality. And that's really, really important. If you bring Eichel on and you realize that he's not a good fit, it's too late. You can't get Pastrnak back. You can't get McAvoy back.
So we're talking to Jack Edwards. Obviously, the Bruins Capitals are going to be on Nesson tonight. Well, actually, can you watch them on YouTube? Are you able to watch them?
No, Fubo.
Fubo is what it is. Yeah, Lou's been having some issues with his YouTube account.
I'm good now. I'm
also I was going to ask you, you mentioned Jake DeBrusk, and you talked about how he was getting off to a slow start. I mean, even actually, you can throw Charlie Coyle in there also. Both those guys had more than 30 points last year. What do you think the issue is with those guys?
I think Jake needs to look at more video. That's just one man's opinion who never played the game higher than the Pee Wee level. So, you know, I respect how proud he is, and I certainly think that he's working at improving his output. But Wednesday night's Washington game, you saw a couple of instances where he was one and done near the blue paint. You know, contrast that with TJ Oshie, who stops in front of the goal, and he's there for second chance pucks. He's there to get his head kicked in sometimes, but he's there. And that is where you score dirty goals in the NHL. And that's what Jake DeBrusk has to do more of, in my humble opinion. So, you know, I would consult Brick more than myself. But, that's what I want to see more of from Jake DeBrusk.
All right, Jack, if there's one team that's giving the Bruins trouble right now, it is the Islanders. I am not one who thinks that coaches seem to translate from one team to another, but how much does Barry Trotz, who gave them fits when he was coach at Washington, have to do with what the Islanders are doing against the Bruins?
Well, I hold Barry Trotz in highest regard. He has been an unbelievable coach since he was coaching in the AHL in Portland, Maine. He went to Nashville where he had to manage a tight, tight budget. And then he gets to go to Washington and voila, he wins the Stanley Cup and Ted Leonsis doesn't want to re-sign him because he's asking for 5 years. How stupid was that? Trotz is doing his magic on Long Island. And, you know, if you've been following the standings day by day, the Islanders have shot upward with hardly any offense. But as the old cliche goes, defense wins championships, and Barry Trotz's teams play a heavy brand of hockey. They give the Bruins fits because the Bruins, in their current state, are not getting inside ice. And that's a matter that they're going to have to show tonight. You know, that's a quality that they're going to have to show more of tonight because Washington is the same kind of heavy team.
Bruins and Caps tonight. It all begins at 6 o'clock on Nesson, and Jack will have all of the play-by-play. Who has more fun than you, Jack Edwards?
Nobody.
Talk to you down the road, buddy.
Nobody.
You got it.
All right, thanks.
See you later.
Amazing.
There's Jack Edwards coming up next. Is it a rebuild for the Patriots, or is it a one-year, let's get back in contention? We get to all of that and more still to come right here on OMF.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lou is on Twitter at Lou Merlone.
I have so many gifts. Personally, that in order to come in and do radio with you two, I have to dumb it down.
Back to OMF on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. I mean, we keep on using the word rebuild, right, when we're talking about the Patriots?
Yep.
Rebuild, right?
Yeah.
So when you hear from players, though, players have no idea what we're talking about.
No.
So let me give you an example of it. This is David Andrews, who does not see the Patriots season as a rebuild. He was on the Tommy Curran podcast.
Why would you just lay it out there, right? This game's too hard to our coaches work harder than we do. You know, obviously they're not putting in the physical – you know, they're not playing the game, but I mean, these dudes are up there to midnight and getting in there at 4 a.m. and, you know, sometimes sleeping at the facility. And, you know, they make a lot of sacrifices. So, you know, I don't think for them or us, we would ever look at it as a rebuild year. To some extent, you know, unfortunately, it seems like every year is a rebuild, right? Like every year, guys are leaving. You know, I mean, you know, I came in and it was, they just come off a Super Bowl. And next thing you know, the three starting interior linemen are me, Shaq Mason, Josh Klein, and Trey Flowers. One undrafted guy, Shaq Mason, had never pass blocked in his life. You know, Trey was a pretty good player, and then Josh was another undrafted guy. So, you know, was that a rebuild year? I don't know.
See, I wasn't surprised to hear this at all, and I know some people were like, wow, why doesn't David Andrews understand that? Well, you tell me, Christian, when you're in the mix and you're a part of it, you don't think of it that way unless you're on a real crappy team in a bad organization in which the last two games of the season you can't wait to go on vacation.
No, I mean, those are teams how insulting would it be to be like, you're talking about, tell these guys on week three that, man, I can't wait till this this rebuild is over. I can't wait. It's like, wait, what? No, and even the coaches. So the coaches working their ass off and, you know, getting everything done. Of course they are. They have nothing to do with the construction that is going on. They're just day laborers. They show up, they bring their hammer. Guy says, foreman says, go hammer that wall over there. They nail and they go home. But it's the foreman, it's Bill who's sitting there going, how do I make this from a spec home to a beautiful home that someone would want to buy at double the value?
Andrews doesn't understand the term. And it doesn't really surprise me.
He's incapable of understanding
the different
term.
Mode,
but
I think.
I'm just saying, it was like we were talking about like tanking. I was hoping they would lose. Tanked. Everyone's like, oh, you're an idiot. Bill would never try to lose. Like tanking, everybody tries to win. Everybody. Like the coaches bust their ass, the players bust their ass, but you tank because the way the team was put together, there's not enough talent to win. The tanking is done by roster assembly. It's got nothing to do with effort. So when he sits there and says, last year wasn't a rebuild, the coaches worked really hard. Yeah, okay, of course. They are going to work really hard. You really don't think it was a rebuild? He talks about all these years, it was different offensive linemen. Who's the quarterback? Who's the defense? So, yeah, every year, what do? They fix a room. They need to change over a room here. Oh, well, offensive line, we need some new blood there. But we're still a great football team. We're still favorites to win the AFC. This absolutely was a rebuild. He just can't recognize it because he's putting it together as, well, if it's a rebuild, that means that our coaches don't try? I don't even know why you connect the two. Of course they try. But it was obviously a rebuild.
Well, the other thing is, I wonder if you should have used bridge year. Maybe that would have been easier.
Bridge to what, though?
Well, no talent.
Well, I mean, no. Well, it's definitely a bridge year because that was...
Bridge to nowhere.
Well, no, he wouldn't say that. He would obviously assume that the destination next year would be, well, it would be in L.A. because that's where the Super Bowl is. So it's a bridge to L.A. How about that?
But if was last year a rebuild? No, it wasn't a rebuild because our coaches tried really hard.
Yeah.
So did I. And
yeah, he doesn't get
it, though. I'm not asking the question. That's not the question.
I don't know, I don't know if there would be a way you could ask it where he would actually say what we want him to say, what we see.
Nobody says it. They'll say it in 4 or 5 years. That year after Brady left, it was a rebuild. You know what I mean? That was it. I mean, but no one's going to admit it now. Because they're still trying. I don't care how bad your roster is. The worst team in the league last year, still, the coaches put in the effort. You know, Jacksonville was the worst team in the league. Coaches still worked. Guys still practiced. You know, players still cared. Everybody tried. They just didn't have enough talent. We called it a tank.
Yeah.
And they'll say, no, we're not tanking. We're trying. I know. Stop. The two aren't connected. We know you're going to try. But your roster sucks. And that's why your team blows.
And what is the definition of a rebuild, and when do you consider it built? For an example, you said this earlier, Lou. Are we going to be happy if they're in the playoffs again, or do they have to get to the Super Bowl, or do they have to win the Super Bowl? That is the problem. You never get to the point where you sit there and say, okay, the rebuild is over, not until you win, certainly in a franchise like this, until you're back in the Super Bowl
again. When you have a coach like Bill Belichick, Your rebuild is over when you find your next quarterback. And the reason why I say a coach like Belichick is because everybody were talking about Herbert before. Like Bill Belichick would never in a million years have a talented kid like Justin Herbert and go 4-12. Never in a million years. Ever. So once he finds his quarterback, he will be able to put something around him. He just hasn't found it. That's when the rebuild is over. And until then, they're going to continue to rebuild and find.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. He's saying, oh, you know, it feels like every year it's a rebuild. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even call it a rebuild because if you have a quarterback, you're just adding on. You're just adding pieces. You're going to get a new couch now. You're going to get a brand new TV. But
that's
the structure. Like, that's why I always think it's funny when people start looking at, like, the Seattle Seahawks. Like, if they end up getting rid of, for some reason, trading Russell Wilson, they're in a rebuild.
Yeah,
because they don't have Russell Wilson.
It's quarterback.
Deshaun Watson. But I hope we have an opportunity to get to Lewis Riddick, but we'll get there at some
point. But see, Bill creates that atmosphere and the personality of a locker room to think that every year is a rebuild, right? Like they win a Super Bowl, he comes in, he's like, this year we haven't done anything. Yeah, we won the Super Bowl last year, but this is a completely new team, new year, new everything. So mentally, he's teaching every one of those players. He turns the page, unlike Alex Cora that last couple years ago, right? I want to keep the chapter going. No. Last year, it's over. New team. So he creates that mentality of every year is a rebuild. We got to build this thing back up again. But talent-wise, no. Not like it is now. Flat rebuild.
I do think that players, and hopefully David Andrews is still here with this team, but I do believe in this offseason you're going to see a lot of changes. So maybe players are going to look at it a lot different. They're going to come in with a lot of guys that they don't recognize in lockers right next to theirs.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, they should. They should. And there'll be some rookies.
The conditions of the league right now.
Yeah, there'll be some rookies that's in that goes, who's this Hightower guy? Where'd he come from? Patrick Chung? I heard
Rookie
about him
a year ago. Right?
Oh my God, Marcus Cannon? Oh. So now I put the face to the nameplate. Wow. Hey, good to see you. Now it'll be. I mean, you're gonna basically.
Devin told me all about
you. Based on the fact that all these guys are coming back. It is like you pending, you know, contracts and stuff. But as of right now, they're coming back. They've declared they're coming back. Then it will be almost like you get four free agents that you actually never had to recruit or convince to play or sign a new contract.
Yeah, that's another fascinating part of this offseason. They come back on their own. They want to come back, and we know that. We keep on hearing players and now media are saying it. Does Belichick want them all back? We still don't know that, and at what terms? Because I still think this is a math problem for Bill. Bill's looking at that number, 63, 64 million bucks. You said it yesterday, Lou. He can probably add another 20 million onto that and have 83, 84 million dollars of cap space in a year in which all of these good players are available. Does he want those guys back at that price?
I would say.
And does that become a
Hightower? Yes. Chung? Yes.
At what price, though?
See, I think.
But does that become contentious?
No, I understand. When we were talking yesterday about all these veteran players, right, looking for these one-year deals to hit the market next, right?
Yeah.
I do wonder, like, if Bill, with the money he spends, can sort of address some future needs with these guys. That's why I say they go after a couple high-priced free agent defensive players to kind of build around in the future. Because if you go out this year and spend all that money on a one-year deal, guys, next year you're just in the same boat. They all leave. And you got more money to spend. But it was just like a one-year little wonder of grabbing four or five guys that one-year deals that you can afford. You bring them in for a year, and then what do you do the following year? They're gone. So it's like I think it's got to be a mix of a player like that or two or three. But that's why I feel like he has got to go get a couple of guys, a couple of just core guys where it's like a 3-4 year deal, 5 year deal, whatever, defensively, and just say, this is our outside rusher. This is our linebacker for the next 4 or 5 years. I'm going to build around them. Too many of these one-year wonders, nothing changes a year from now. You're back looking for another mediocre quarterback, and you're back looking to sign some more, you know, free agents, defensively, all these other things. So you gotta get some kind of long-term commitment from somebody this offseason. Get all that money to spend.
You would think. You guys believe in UFOs?
I do.
No.
Christian?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I am not buying into the there's no such thing as ghosts. UFOs do not exist.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
And Bigfoot exists.
I do believe in Bigfoot, though.
Oh, you believe in Bigfoot? You don't believe in UFOs?
I've seen Bigfoot.
You think we're the only, only planet out there with any kind of life activity?
I do not believe in UFOs.
See the picture of Mars?
I do not believe. I mean, but do I believe in the picture? Did I see the picture of Mars?
The stuff on Mars is incredible.
They haven't discovered the people yet on it.
What is it? There are little mini homes there?
No, they live underground.
Little villages? I'm not seeing any mini homes.
You seen
yet.
Footprints over there?
They live underground. It's Mars.
It's amazing watching the stuff from Mars, though, isn't it? So anyway, we have another NFL quarterback who apparently has had an encounter with a UFO. And we're going to get to that. Plus, we mentioned this yesterday. Coming to America, it debuts today. The sequel debuts today.
Nice.
The reviews are already out because I don't know about you guys, but that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm sitting down watching it. The reviews are out. And in two aspects of the movie, it's getting rave reviews, but there are those two aspects, I think, are two aspects that none of us give a rat's ass about. We'll get to all of that and more coming up next right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
There's not a stupid question, there's not a bad idea, and go.
Now back to OMF.
We'll be right back.
137 years old.
I'm not even going to get my hopes up. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to suck me in.
I already told you.
I won't
couple,
do it.
A couple strong things about the movie. I just don't think it's necessarily your style, but we'll get to it. How about quarterbacks? Why is it the quarterbacks see UFOs all the time? Have you noticed that? There's like, I don't see tight ends coming out and saying, oh, I had an encounter with a UFO. It's quarterbacks. So Baker Mayfield, the latest NFL quarterback with a UFO encounter, he tweets out almost 100%, and I just saw
his wife.
And I just saw a UFO. Is she the one that keeps on coming into the stadium all the time with him?
That's I think so, yeah. He gets locked up, yeah.
I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky toward Lake Travis. Anyone else witness this? And I guess there were a few other people that apparently.
Well, I would say this to Baker.
They jumped. Oh, I saw two. Send an autograph to 315.
That just could have been a shooting star, right?
Yes, and it could have been meteor, right? Or so, because they happen every night. You can look up and see them on any given night.
I've actually never even seen a shooting star.
No,
with you. I can't remember.
And you're not looking. You're not patient.
I'm up in New Hampshire. I'm up in the woods.
Oh, you
and
should
I'm
see
looking.
Them up there.
I don't see them. That's
oh,
my
I've
point.
Seen shooting stars before.
I wouldn't even know.
Do you have the patience to lie down on your back after maybe a couple of cocktails and just look at the sky and see images?
Yes.
You did grow up in L.A. You can't see anything. You look up, you can't see anything.
You grew up on the south side of Framingham.
Other side
okay? It's not like you had the other side of the tracks.
Don't even compare the light pollution on the south side of Framingham.
But here's the thing. How do we know that they're shooting stars? They may actually be UFOs.
Okay, so here's the thing with UFOs. Okay, I'm gonna cut this out now because I think the UFO discussion is so silly. Okay, but I'll play along if you want. Okay, if there were, you said, oh, you think we're the only people in the universe, like the only signs of life,
yeah,
are right here on Third Rock from the sun.
Do you believe that?
Okay, yes. Here's why. Here's why. What are we doing? We're just driving by. We're just going to, hey, do another drive-by. So UFOs have been doing drive-bys for like 70 years. Nobody decides to stop and check out what all the fuss is about.
I actually think you could
I heard
be
these things.
Walking
these
around
things
with aliens.
Humans.
You walk around with aliens amongst
what
us.
What is it? What are you, Men in Black
Men in
now?
Black, yeah. Okay. Like Ryan could be an alien right now.
Definitely a candidate.
You know?
Wait, why am I a candidate?
Definitely a candidate.
I just threw an example. I could have said Tyler, but I just
Baker
saw Ryan
Mayfield
first.
Saw UFO.
Yeah, I don't think we're the only, you know, people out there living in our universe.
I know, but think about it. Think about it. Think about it rationally, okay? Now, the whole Area 51, that whole thing, like there's the United States government has like a whole UFO lab where they're dissecting aliens. If aliens actually existed, they would not just fly by and just go, next time I'll get the courage to stop. Next time I'm going to get the courage to, I'm going to land this sucker. You know what? I'm just going to say, we come in peace. See what happens.
Yeah. Christian, have you ever been to the zoo? To me, it's tantamount the same thing. They do a little drive-by on the planet. That's like you taking a trip to the zoo to look at all the wild animals.
No, totally different.
You do a little drive-by on Earth to look at all us wild animals.
Terrible analogy.
It's a great analogy. I think it's a legitimate argument to say, how broad is the universe and, to infinity and beyond, that there's got to be some other form of life out there. We don't know.
Yeah, they're called amoebas. They don't fly jets. They don't have sex with humans. They don't try to procreate and make a super being.
Okay, there is a little bit more evidence where, and some of it is going to be uncovered here in the next year or so because we're running out of the time frame now where the government is going to release more and more documents in which, yeah, they think that there's some unknown stuff that they don't know what it is. Now,
yes.
I think if they had like little Martians and at Area 51 and they're taking them apart or whatever, don't you think by now that somebody would have leaked that information
exactly.
out, worked for the government?
There's no stupid aliens.
Right. People like to tell other people stuff.
Classified.
Yeah.
There's no tic-tac saucer came out like a couple years ago. And that is basically declassified information. You have a U.S. naval fighter pilot and David Fravor that's like, I don't know what the hell I'm looking
yeah,
at.
Yeah, I said that.
I don't understand the science of Russian planes flying. It was a Russian MiG
is what they call it. I saw Top Gun.
There are things that are happening out there that I don't think are explainable. I agree. On the other hand, to really believe that we already know, and I've heard people say this and write this, we know that we've already encountered these aliens. I don't think that's happened. Yep. I thought it was interesting, though, that after Baker Mayfield did this, Colin Cowherd can't help himself. So he tweets this out. So Baker Mayfield saw a UFO. Joe Montana, Troy Aikman, Terry Bradshaw, and Tom Brady have never seen aliens. I would prefer my guys don't talk about it, being the old hardo.
Yeah.
So Brady responds, how do you know I've never seen aliens, Colin?
Are you telling Brady? He would know firsthand, wouldn't he?
How do you know?
We just had an incident. What was it? Just the other day, like a week or two ago. Remember the American Airlines? You guys see this one? The pilot?
No.
He called it in. The pilot called it in. He says, do we have any targets up here? We just had something fly over us on the top of us. I hate to see it. Says, but it looked like a long cylinder object. You got it?
Yeah, this is what it sounds like.
Yeah, let's hear it.
2292. Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us. I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object. It almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast that went right over the top of us.
So what is he doing? Is he just
North
like on
Korea
shrooms?
Testing.
This pilot just on shrooms?
He flies planes for a living.
That something just flew over him?
And he doesn't know what it is. Like, that's alarming to hear. When the people whose lives are based around things that fly in the air and he does not know what he just saw.
Do you know how much junk is in space right now and that stuff falls at all times?
Sure.
It always falls down.
That's not what
he said.
A piece of crap just flew by the windshield. It flew over us.
Well, it doesn't necessarily go straight down, guys.
Can I give a suggestion of what it may be?
I mean, the airplane's not in space, for God's sake. It's just flying.
Why can't it be why can't it be some experimental weapon that somebody is testing?
Could be.
And they got away from them. And they're trying to find it. That's the most reasonable explanation. That's what it is.
Elon Musk is a little hobby.
Maybe that's what it is.
I'm not going to get scullied by the guy that thinks there's sharks in his swimming pool. That's cool.
That's a low experimental weapon
that got away.
This guy said it looked like a cruise missile type.
Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us that, I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object. It almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast that went right over the top of us.
Sir, what's a JetBlue flight?
Yeah, I mean, he's saying like something in space. He's flying over New Mexico, for Christ's sakes.
Do you remember Aaron Rodgers back in 2016? Remember he had this little experience?
Yep, believe him too.
Yep.
Yeah, so we went outside. We saw,
but it looked like Independence Day
when the plane it looks like commercial jets kind of flying, or maybe it's a military jet, and they're kind of trying to figure out what's coming through the clouds. And you see like just kind of a fiery movement of cloud, I guess, coming through the sky. And then the plane eventually runs into the spaceship, which is coming in the orbit. It was like that in a sense of that it was a large orange left to right moving object. It goes out of sight, and we look at each other and go, what in the f*** was that?
See, that's the problem. Credible people, successful people, smart people. Hey, I went to Cal, who start creating this narrative about, like, hey, so if Aaron Rodgers believes it, I believe that the girl from the movie Species is, like, a real thing. Like, there's really every hot woman you see out there could possibly be an alien. I want to have sex with her.
Oh, he gets even better.
Sex with an alien.
He got even deeper with this one because he had a whole theory about...
And then, when it had been out of sight for a good 30 seconds, I don't want to say 30 seconds, it felt like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
At the time, we were kind of like in shock. Then we hear the sound, definitive sound, and anybody who's been to a flyover or been to an air show or just seen Top Gun, you know the sound that a fighter jet makes as it flies by. And there are about four of those.
Four fighter jets?
Now, if you know anything about UFO sightings, you've done research, you know that a lot of times two things are connected to UFO sightings. One is the presence of fighter jets.
Is that right? Because they're sent out to look at
it? Chase them down or to check out what's going on. And two is that there's a lot of sightings around nuclear power plants.
Oh.
So to tie it all together, the alarm we heard was from 30 miles out, there was a nuclear power plant that had an alarm that went off.
Because there's plenty of nuclear power plants around now.
No, what he's doing is he's into it. He's into it.
Yeah, he's a dope.
He wanted to see it. He's into it.
Right? He's so stupid. He is so dumb.
And so he's got this, if you know anything about UFO sightings, because I know, you know, I had an encounter.
So they're always so you'll never see a UFO without a fighter jet.
Well, listen, I mean, it's a quarterback thing. So it's not just Aaron Rodgers.
Okay,
it's not
who
just
else
Baker
is it?
Mayfield. Michael Vick would never lie to me.
Do I believe in aliens? I will say yes. When I was about 7 years old, I seen something in the sky, man, and I didn't think was normal. And it was there, it appeared, and then it was gone. And I'm like, listen, I know I'm only, you know, 7, 8 years old, but I know what I saw. I had eyes I can see, and it was really, really weird. I'm not playing, man. I'm telling the truth. I done told this story to a couple different people.
He beat the crap out of that Martian like it was a little dog. That's what he did. Just destroyed
it. I believe him. I believe it, but we're not done because it wasn't just not just quarterbacks.
Wait, hold on. So Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers. Michael Vick.
Tom Brady.
Brady confirms that he might have seen one too.
Well, he didn't confirm or deny.
Well, I know, but it's not just quarterbacks. It's also running backs. The great Eric Dickerson. He said this actually last year.
You believe in aliens?
Hell yeah, I believe in aliens.
Tell him.
I think I've seen a few aliens. At a club, a couple of clubs years ago.
Club.
I thought they were aliens. If you think that we're the only thing this world, look at the sky. The sky. I mean, it doesn't go out and you go shh, boom, and you stop. It's not like the bottom of the ocean.
Okay, I agree with that aspect. What I question is if, let's say, we go to Mars. We're at Mars right now. And I know, we're at Mars right now. I just said we're at Mars right now. You don't think, like, if we see a little village, wait, what is that music?
I know.
This is Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Is it really?
Great movie.
Oh, yeah.
Really good movie.
Oh, I just want to listen to it now.
Yeah.
I feel like
you've derailed Christian's point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. How about Eric Dickerson talking about, I see some aliens in the club. Back in the 80s.
I guarantee you.
I used to wear my glasses back in the club back in the 80s when I played for the Rams.
I thought they were aliens.
No, they would stop. That is my only thing. They would stop. They would stop and say, you know what? We've been driving by enough. Let's take a chance. Let's just go
we're
out and say
aliens.
We come in peace. Yes, we're from planet
you.
X.
I'm with you on this one.
And you know what? Yes, I have gills. I know I come from a water world, and it's many, many, many light years away. And our leader is Luke Skywalker.
So that's the thing. So you don't believe in aliens, but you believe in Bigfoot.
Yeah, I do believe in Bigfoot.
So why?
You don't think like a bear could have like sex with like a moose and then create some weird animal that just
I believe there is a Bigfoot out there.
Moose
or maybe multiples. There's obviously it's got to be more
moose
than one.
Because
every time I watch Finding Bigfoot, they're like close to finding him, and then they go to commercial, and like the show's over, and I'm like, I gotta watch the next one because they always get this close to finding one. But I could see a Bigfoot being out there.
All right,
how do you explain the Bigfoot prints?
The what?
The Bigfoot prints that they find.
Oh, God.
Oh, the Bigfoot
prints.
I thought you said prints. Like he's like
the Bigfoot footprints.
He's next in line to the throne.
The Bigfoot footprints.
It's some kid playing a prank on you.
Oh, you guys.
Like all the...
You guys probably don't even believe in ghosts.
No, the grass that's mowed, and everybody says, oh, my God, aliens put it here.
It's a crop circle. The grass gets mowed. Right.
I would like to see somebody
so
actually do that.
You're so uneducated on extraterrestrial activity.
I guess so.
You guys got to open your minds. Open your minds.
I got to get to this because I'm looking forward to this tonight. I know we talked about it yesterday. Our sequels ever any good? Coming to America is out today, and you get it on Amazon Prime. And I read of numerous reviews for the movie tonight.
And
so let's start with this one. Pretty good source, RogerEbert.com.
Are you still alive?
No. Odie Henderson actually writes but it's under the Roger Ebert signature. Coming to America, out of a total of 5 stars, it gets a 2.
Oh, I knew it!
Okay, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Because they start off the review this way, and tell me what your intentions are when you sit down tonight to watch Coming to America. Is this one of them? In 2019, this is the start of the review, Ruth E. Carter won an Oscar for creating the fashions of Wakanda. It's only fitting that she would follow that by tightening her stitches on the attire of Zumanda, the other beloved cinematic African paradise first seen in 1988's Coming to America. Under her masterful guidance, everyone in Coming to America looks spectacular. The fashion, they rave about it. Cinematography, they rave about it. The rest of the movie, crap.
Wait.
Are you watching this movie for fashion and cinematography?
See, I need something to measure that up against.
You got
to
get a different...
I can guarantee you that there's been movies that I've loved and laughed at that it probably got a 2 out of 5 for the same reasons. I wasn't intellectually stimulated enough. No, I want to laugh my ass off. Period. End of story. I think it's going to be funny. I'm going to laugh. I'm going
to
laugh.
I would like to say I think we need another reviewer. I mean, we need somebody.
I'll give you another one.
Yeah.
Carter's costumes are worth the price of admission. Just know that once you pay, you will only be disappointed by everything else if you are a fan of the original movie.
We got a point. Cassie Clay was a bad motherfucker.
Okay, so again, different person?
Yes.
Different person only talking about the cost, how cool the costumes are.
They're raving about the costumes. The last thing I care about with this movie tonight in watching it is the costumes.
See, now I feel better about it.
About that
I actually feel better about it. When somebody like that reviews a comedy, a slapstick comedy with all these comedians in it, okay, and then all they do is focus on the wardrobe, I feel pretty good about it now.
What do you got, Tyler? What did you say? Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, do you guys care about Rotten Tomatoes scores for movies?
I'm looking for a good one. Go.
Tomato meter, 48%. I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's
and the audience score is 47%.
That's bad. Let me give you another point.
Yeah, I'll go back to that first review. Coming to America is my desert island movie. I've seen it a million times to the point where I can just recite the dialogue from memory. I have never... neither laughed as hard nor heard as much sustained laughter as I did back in 1988. Goes on and on and on about the first movie. Then says, unfortunately, there was enough downtime between the laughs in the sequel that I started fixating on numerous plot issues. Coming to America 2 is like attending your high school reunion. You'll enjoy seeing the familiar faces of those with whom you once shared such fond experiences, but then you'll realize that the nostalgia of that past is far more fulfilling than the harsher realities of the present.
Wow. You know what? That was beautiful.
I couldn't have said that better.
That is my fear.
But costumes,
it's such a nostalgic movie. That there's no way they could... Like, you think... Good analogy, too. You think you're going back to high school. Hey, cake stand. Woo, let's go. No hangover. No. The girl that you had a crush on is fat. She's nasty. Like, you're fat, too.
No teeth.
You don't have any teeth. Yeah, you're both gross, and neither one of you want to get undressed together.
She wears
an orange
skirt.
I got, what is this? Richard Roper from the Chicago Sun-Times. I am
pleased
to report.
One. Yeah.
Long-awaited, much-anticipated, will it ever happen? Heavily hyped Coming to America is just as gloriously funny and wonderful and original and gold-hearted.
There you go. So we've got somebody who actually
Vince Mancini
likes.
From Uprox. I don't know that one.
Virtually
no one does good comedy sequels, especially decades after the fact. Of all the people to finally get it right, who would have expected to be Eddie Murphy?
We play football.
See, I'm going to be in that category. Right. I'm going to be in that category.
Well, I'm not going to care about the reviews. I'm still going to sit down and watch it with an open mind. I just thought that I looked at them today and I'm saying the first thing they're pointing out for Coming to America 2 is the costumes and the cinematography. Yeah.
I'm going to say the odds are that I like this. I'm going to go in with the idea of hating it and see if he can prove me wrong. How about that?
Every time I start talking about boxing, a white man got to pull Rocky Marciano out their ass. That's the one.
I love that line. That's their one. That's their one. I'm going to start using that. Every time Glenn says something, I'm like, that's Deshaun Watson. That's your one. Deshaun Watson.
I was 137 years old.
Did McDonald's ever sue them with McDowell's? Did they ever get sued with that over $1
million? No, they got the Big Mac. They got the Big Mac.
Trivia question before we go. Who can name the only white person in Coming to America, the original? The only white person to appear in the movie, the original from 1988, was who?
The comedian that does the French fries.
Who do you got?
Oh yes, the fat guy,
Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson.
The only white guy in the movie.
Yeah, he's moving up too.
100%. He's 100% black cast.
I don't think
he's in a sequel. I just checked
Joe Louis's ass.
An interesting.
He did. He beat Joe Louis's ass.
He beat a good dude.
We got another hour to go, gentlemen. Friday, 5 o'clock hour. It never disappoints on OMF. Coming up next.
Joe Louis had come out of retirement to fight Rocky Marciano. The man was 76 years old. Joe Louis always lied about his age. He lied about his age all the time. One time, Frank Sinatra comes out here and sat down in this chair. And I said, Frank, you hang out with Joe Louis. Just between me and you, how old is Joe Louis? You know what Frank told me? He said, hey, Joe Louis 137 years old. 137 years old.